Tech trailblazers. As the digital landscape of workplaces evolve, this culturally and linguistically diverse panel of women will share their experiences in adapting these technologies into their craft. Women in traditionally male-dominated fields leave a mark on their journeys, empowering women to break through glass ceilings and emerge as influential leaders in their industries. Join us for this empowering series in Arabic and English as we look into the fascinating professional lives of these women, where they've effectively harnessed the power of technology and conquered hurdles in their respective fields. Be inspired by their resilience and wisdom. Follow the path to success that they've helped to pave. Unlock your potential. Join us and our passionate group of Tech Trailblazers. Proudly supported by the New South Wales Government. The following interview was conducted with Zainab. Zainab is an academic mentor. She supports students by guiding them and helping them navigate through their first year of studies. She is also a project manager, running projects that use education as a means to serve the community, equipping young Muslims with leadership skills and fostering grassroots change. As a member of the community advisory boards of Ambulance Victoria and Activate Youth, she lends her expertise and insights to shape impactful initiatives. Zainab's professional trajectory exemplifies a blend of expertise, leadership, and a steadfast commitment to making a meaningful difference in her community and beyond. Today I'm joined by Zainab. Zainab, how are you?
Good, not bad. Yourself?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. Alhamdulillah. So I just wanted to start off by asking, what sparked your interest in working as a marketing and projects officer?
Some of things just fall in your lap and it just happens. It's not something that I actually went after. It just kind of like happened. So I work for a university, but education was never my thing. Yeah, it's quite a funny story. Like I did VCAL in high school. So usually people who do VCAL, they don't really expect much from them. Like they usually go to trade or whatnot. VCAL is a Victorian TAFE accredited year 12. So it's like without a ATAR score.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I always struggled academically, but we made it to uni. We did the undergraduate of youth work and always had a passion for community and creating impact and, you know, being able to serve the people around me. And I loved it, absolutely loved it. And, like, I went from going to high school, flaking classes, whatever, to, like, getting the highest marks in my class. And it was very confronting because I was, like, 17-year-old studying with 50-year-olds. And I had, like, 50-year-olds come up to me and ask me for help. And this was, like, unseen, unheard of.
Wow.
I'm also, like, the youngest in my family. So it was a very strange moment when, you know, there's someone who's very mature age coming to you for help and support because, you know, you're the youngest. I finished my youth work and I was faced with a moral dilemma and I didn't know how to work out this moral dilemma. So I enrolled in Islamic studies to help me navigate challenging situations working as a minority in a majority country.
How did that lead you to marketing?
That's a great question. So basically, like, my role isn't just marketing, it's like academic mentoring.
Yep.
So I actually work for a university. So I think the focus of my journey is more on education as opposed to marketing. So working in the education sphere, wearing several hats. I was enrolled as a student shortly after some of the lecturers noticed my potential and thereby I was employed. Mind you, the space between looking for a job and lo and behold, I was answering phones for like 2 months and I'm like, surely I can do more than this. Surely I'm more capable than this. And then I got offered the role of academic mentoring. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I struggled a lot academically and so it was very tricky.
Did you find that that kind of position made you confront a lot of your fears and anxieties from when you were back in the education atmosphere?
Definitely. And it also allowed me to share the lessons and the strategies that I had learned to cope academically with others who struggle academically.
Yes, I was going to ask that as well. That's completely understandable because you find that you are able to identify the students that struggle. You have an eye for it better than most average teachers out there. You know exactly what to look for. You know the signs and symptoms of a student that might be struggling in a certain type of way.
And you're also able to identify different learning styles for other people and educate them about how they can better adapt and adopt learning styles that work for them. Getting back to the marketing part. So I slowly got into graphic design. My eye for detail is horrible. So everything that I struggled with where I'm working, it's helped me adapt and adopt and just grow automatically better. So my eye for detail is horrible. I'm doing graphic design work and I help out the marketing team with several campaigns. But I guess essentially what I wanted to highlight from my story is that sometimes you're put in situations where you're like, I don't know what I'm doing. These are my weaknesses. I'm forced to work with my weaknesses to develop strengths. Mm. But when you look at it from a futuristic perspective, it's like, wow, I'm meant to be here.
Mm.
Like this experience, this workplace has shaped me to who I am today. And it's helped me grow proficient in ways that I didn't think I was capable of, and also pass on that knowledge to others. So it's not just, okay, yep, I've learned how to do this. It's, okay, how can I teach others to turn their weaknesses into strengths?
Absolutely. That's beautiful perspective. My next question to you is your industry, or you said you wear many hats, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these industries are pretty challenging. So I want to ask you, how do you navigate any gender norms or biases that you encounter on your journey?
I would say the best way to navigate these kind of challenges is to have good role models and have good mentors who really uplift you and support you. It is definitely tricky in the society that we live in, but leadership has a huge impact on them.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have good leaders and good mentors and people that you can turn to for professional advice, it really helps you with those particular struggles. So I'm like the youngest employee out of 20 employees. And so you can imagine trying to assert opinions would be a struggle for someone this young. But because I had good mentorship, I was able to navigate through these challenges. So, it's a tough world out there. But when you know your value and you know that what you have to contribute is valuable, and by you not contributing and expressing your ideas, your innovative, creative thoughts, not only are you doing a disservice to the organization, but you're doing a disservice to yourself because you're not discovering things within you, like you're not discovering the tools that are within you. Mm. So, and I think it works kind of interchangeably. So not only are you doing a disservice to yourself or not encouraging the things within you, but you're also doing a disservice to the institution or the organization because you're not putting your ideas out there because you're worried that you might be cut off or you might not be valued. But when you know the value within yourself, it helps you definitely navigate that. So just to summarize three things, good mentorship, knowing your value, and also recognizing the capability within you and that there's nothing stopping you from contributing but yourself.
I love that phrase that you said, that if you don't contribute with your ideas, you're doing a disservice to the organization, because a lot of the times what holds a lot of women back is that they think that their ideas are going to get shot down, that they're not as innovative as the other people in the room. And we tend to overthink that sort of stuff instead of just get out of our own head and recognize that even if our idea isn't the idea, it could lead to the idea. It could generate a greater idea, whether it's through the collaboration with someone else, or someone else might come up with an idea building on the initial idea that we came up with.
Yeah. And you know what? Imposter syndrome is so huge. Even as an academic mentor, majority of the students that I interact with, they're in a class with 20 other people. Some of those 20 other people are sheikhs. Some of those 20 other people are 17-year-olds. Some of those 20 other people sound more intellectual, sound more articulate than them. So they're often intimidated to share their thoughts and whatnot in class. But, it's about encouraging them that you're only depriving yourself and you're only depriving your classmates of your insights, you know?
Absolutely. With the changing environments of the workplace comes advancements in technology. So the digital landscape of a workplace will change and rapidly changes, actually. Even throughout a couple of years, you can find vastly different technology is used in a workplace. So I did want to ask, in your work, how do you see the intersection of creativity and technology? And are there specific digital tools or platforms that have been particularly impactful for you?
Definitely. I love this question. I love innovation. It's what gets all the juices flowing, you know?
Yeah.
I could just give you my experience, like personally. Our courses used to be offered on site, but we found that the demand was higher online.
Mm-hmm.
And when it came to COVID, it was actually an asset having all the classes online. Because we were able to recreate our own community. So when we're all stuck in silos, like I know in Sydney you guys didn't have this issue, but in Melbourne, we had lockdown for over 12 months.
Yeah.
It wasn't all together, like we had breaks in between, but it was very, very tough. Like a lot of people were living their lives in isolation. But because we had that experience, teaching academically, our community side or the community work that we do within our institution, we were able to create an online community. We had like weekly Islamic halaqas, we had events online, we had engagement. It was something else. It was beautiful to have the togetherness. Another digital thing, everything is digitalized. So a lot of the work that we do is behind the screen. And a really good example of this is like graphic design. I have no graphic design experience whatsoever. So I downloaded Photoshop. I tried to learn it. It was very, very technical. You have the rise of like Canva. It is amazing. Someone who knows how to use a computer can design, you know, booklets, leaflets, flyers, programs. Like it makes it so easy. Other innovations that you find, like the wholesale SMS where you can SMS your students, you know, project management tools like Asana, all these kinds of stuff really contribute holistically to the success of an institution and the progression through these different technologies. And it's about having the courage to step up and learn these things and also measure your time and commitment to the tasks itself. And with AI like ChatGPT, you know, you see how much it can positively support the work that you do. Like, for example, I've mentioned education was a struggle for me. So spelling, grammar is a huge problem. But I just put all my emails through ChatGPT and I get it to correct my spelling. It's no longer a limitation for me. Technology can definitely serve a higher purpose in anything that you do. You just got to use it the right way. Social media is another example of that, reaching people, creating that long-lasting impact, knowing your brand and who you represent and what you do. One thing that you say on social media can change someone's world. And like, it's a testament. It's kind of like I have people message me through the DMs and say, oh my gosh, I really need to hear that. Thank you so much for sharing that insight. And it's just me just reflecting on life's lessons. But you don't realize the impact that you have on people's lives just by sharing that message, you know. So social media is another example of technology supporting an online community or supporting each other just by sharing your reflections, your lessons and whatnot.
Absolutely. A lot of what you touched on was how it brings people together. It's a huge debate whether or not it brings people together or if it brings people further apart. You made some pretty strong arguments about how technology not only improved your quality of work, but it improved your quality of life.
Well, it's just like anything in life in general. One thing can make you or break you, but you have to allow it to work for you. Whatever the label is, whatever the limitation is, whatever the object is, you know, you use it to your advantage in a way that supports the work that you do. So you can get some criticism as a Muslim living in a minority. You can get some criticism about your hijab, for example. You're walking down the street. And then you challenging that stereotype, you've changed that negative into a positive. Same thing with social media. Like, you can use it to harass people and bully people and make people feel disconnected from themselves. And you see youth suicide rates are through the roof. But it's how you choose to use the resources that you have that can control the outcome.
We did talk about your own experiences with social media and digital platforms. So can you share tips for individuals who are trying to establish their presence online and make a mark in the creative industry?
Definitely. One thing I would like to highlight, the biggest thing, is be authentic to yourself. You know, the great thing about being a Muslim is that you have like this framework, you have these boundaries that you can work between. And when you're your authentic self, whatever you put out on social media, whatever you say, because like you have those boundaries, it allows you to be yourself, you know? So it's really freeing in that sense. You don't have to compromise being yourself or your religion. Just know your morals and values, and that will help guide the branding and the image that you want to show the world. Also, know what your message is. Like, what do you want to put out in the world? What do you want to leave someone with? What's your take-home message? That will help amplify your, either if it's a brand that you're promoting or if it's yourself that you're promoting, when you know the values of, if it's their brand or the values of yourself, then you're able to better market that and reach a larger audience and also create greater impact. There's many things that you could do. So I have like a strategy on the amount of times that you post, engage your audience, give something back to your audience. So essentially, if we're talking about social media in general, there's a few types of posts that we put out. So one of them is the message, right? So you got to have an informative post about, you have to give back to your community. It's not just getting from your community. You have to give back. Yep. So the message is very important. The second thing I would say is the promotion. So if you're promoting the institution, you're promoting your message, you're promoting a person, obviously you want to display that or showcase that in a way that appeals to people. And, yeah, I would just say your network is your net worth. So don't look at, you know, how much people view your video or like your thing. Focus on what impact this is going to have. I remember when I first started my lives on Instagram, I'd have maybe 2 people viewing, and then a week later there'd be 500 views. But I didn't conclude the interview because only 2 people attended. Mm. So how many people attend? It's your message. Is it important? If you focus on who's looking and how many people are looking, that's like seeking external validation. It's not a measurement to success. Rather, focus more your attention on the message that you want to give to the world.
That's a beautiful message. A lot of us do stop when the audience is just one person, or it's not exactly the audience of someone else that we might look up to, for example. And if the message is important enough to be heard, it doesn't really matter how many people are listening. You just have to work on yourself, maybe to get their attention for their sake and not for yours.
That's right.
What did you say? You said your network is your net worth. Is that what you said?
Exactly.
That's nice.
Even if I had a friend who watched one of your stories, right, or watched my story,
yeah,
and then she shared that with one other friend, I don't know. These days you can look at your analytics and check, but you don't know how many lives you've touched just by sharing it with that one person.
Yeah.
So you got to start off with who you know, and then the people will come later. If your message is strong enough, your biggest advocates on social media are the people who know you, who trust you, who you've built that rapport with.
Yeah.
You want your brand to elevate, you maintain those rapport with the people that know you already, and that builds trust and that builds an audience and that makes your brand a lot higher.
Definitely. Very well said.
And I think what the root of it goes down to, and I kind of mentioned it earlier as well, is your value, your values and your value. So the first thing is knowing that, you know, you have something to offer and you are valuable, and every person has a set of strengths and gifts. And then the second thing is, what do you value? What are your values? And basically, when you're on a digital space, you want to just amplify those values. So when I say values, like, for example, kindness, there's so much negativity that you see on social media. So, you know, amplify positivity. I'm not saying that, okay, it turns into toxic positivity and you're always happy. No, you've got to show the world your bad days some days. Because if you show the world your bad days some of the time, then they know that, you know, humans have ups and downs. So I guess it's about having that balance and also highlighting your values throughout those digital platforms. Does that make sense?
Or no, does that it does. Sound... No, yeah, I'm with you. A lot of the times, like you said, it's more of an airbrushed version that you see of people on their social media platforms. And a lot of people think that when they're trying to market themselves or promote themselves or their brand, they can't show the lows, they can't show the mistakes. But in fact, a lot of people value and appreciate when someone can step up and say, I made a mistake, owning up to a mistake that they did, sharing a story about a dissatisfied customer and how they fixed it, or how they're in future going to fix it, or even when they're just reflecting on themselves, on their own life, and they share a personal story about a hardship and how they're coming out of that hardship. All of that humanizes the person behind the page. And exactly. you can be a person who has the exact same values as your viewer, but if they don't feel connected to you through the shared adversities, then a lot of the times there's still that distance that you're keeping between you and your audience. And they trust you a lot more when you're honest with them about the bad times as well.
Well said. And just to add to what you said, that was fantastic. But people draw strength from your challenges.
Yeah.
So they see you showcasing your struggles and they're like, okay, if this person did it, if this person could overcome, then there's nothing stopping me from overcoming too. You know, it also builds a sort of relational experience, the relative challenge, you know. It kind of normalizes these kinds of challenges that happen, and it adds, it forms a way of not only validating the person, but also making them feel connected through their challenges, you know, that they're not alone in this challenge or they're not alone with the challenge. Everyone is facing challenges and you draw strength from each other.
Absolutely. And I think I've seen time and time again, a lot of working mothers, for example, that on their social media page will show the realities of being a working parent. And a lot of parents experience that. And a lot of mothers might feel shame for the things that they think they fall short in. And like you said, they just draw strength and they're inspired by these mothers who are sharing the real experience that's kind of glamorized or kind of idealized by social media a lot of the time. And a lot of women are helping each other as well through the advice and the tips and tricks that they share on social media platforms. And that all goes back to what you said earlier about how technology can be used as a tool that brings people together and uplifts them in hard times.
Definitely.
We did deviate from talking about your career into more talking about technology, but I think we're going to keep with that, because my next question for you is, beyond your professional endeavors, you're involved mm-hmm. in social causes. So how do you use your digital platform for advocacy and social impact?
That's really great in the sense that, you know what I think about, subhanAllah, it just goes back again to messages. How do you use social media as a way of advocating? You know, you have a message just by speaking out or speaking up or changing the narrative that you see in modern day society just by showcasing your akhlaq and adab, you know, just by showcasing that, okay, I'm, you know, working on program with local council and I'm demonstrating my ability to work in a team and doing all these things. I really challenge that narrative that, you know, Muslim women are, you know, they work in the kitchen or they don't have a place there. No, just me being there, doing things that I'm passionate about is changing that narrative.
Yep.
I'm also on the board of Ambulance Victoria. And again, I'm the youngest member on that board. And everyone is CEOs and managers. And here I am, you know, working on in a grassroots organization, trying to represent the Muslim voice. It doesn't matter that I'm the least, like, qualified person there. What matters is that my message is strong, that I'm breaking barriers and taking it back to how to use social media as a place of advocacy is just have that strong message and use whatever resources that you have to amplify that, you know. So when you're very connected to who you are, what you represent and what you value, it makes it easier to showcase that on a digital platform. And it doesn't have to necessarily be social media. It could be podcasts. It could be, you know, e-books. It could be radio. And there's so many, like, institutions. Like, I did a podcast with organization and, you know, they were able to mentor me on how to, you know, produce and create my own podcast. And I spoke in that podcast about, you know, the importance of knowing who you are, feeling part of a community, feeling part of a society, challenging the narrative. And then shortly after, a few years later, I was invited on a different podcast where someone else was, you know, interviewing me. So you just got to know your message, have a strong message, and know that your risala and your voice is worth being heard. And so knowing your value and also amplifying the message that you believe in.
You brought up, you know, the stereotypes that a lot of the ignorant members of society try to put Muslim women in this particular type of box and limit our capabilities or limit us to what they're familiar with of us. And I feel like that also on the other end discredits the mothers that do stay at home, do enjoy being in the kitchen, do enjoy being mothers. And seeing that Muslim women can do both and are happy doing both and are happy doing one or the other, like you said, it just completely challenges the ideas that people might come up to you with.
I absolutely love the fact that you brought our mothers to the forefront, because our mothers are superheroes. Like, it's not just the work that they do in the kitchen out of the love. It's raising a generation of kids who are passionate.
Yeah.
It's raising a mindset. It's cultivating that mindset. It's nurturing that mindset. Like, even if that is their sole role or their sole happiness to be in that particular space, it is still serves as a huge contribution to the world. You know, you don't realize, like, I think today's society really undervalues the role of a mother. But, yeah, our mothers, especially in these societies, tackling these stereotypes, you know, trying to raise their kids, like, there's people doing both as well. That's an extra, like, there's different levels of honor that we're, like, neglecting to highlight in that. Mothers are the rocks of our society. So I'm so glad that you brought that up. And
absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean,
beautiful thought.
I look up to my mother. I look up to so many mothers in the Muslim community that just, they work at home. They might work elsewhere. They might do dawah, preaching about Islam. And they do all of this, dealing with all the pressures of keeping a household. And it's not the simple task that a lot of people think it is. And a lot of people reduce it to just that, just simply cooking a meal or clean. But it's so much more than that. It's, like you said, raising a generation, raising multiple generations, in fact, because you end up raising the mothers of your grandchildren, the fathers of your grandchildren. You end up raising the leaders of your community, the ones that will inherit your community when you pass. And all of that, I mean, that is a heavy load to carry. And all of it comes from following up with your children, making sure that they're consuming the right kind of media, making sure that they're consuming the right kind of food. All of that it falls on the mothers a lot. And that's not something to take lightly at all. I think we're just about done, but I would like to tie this interview together, and I would like to conclude this interview by just asking, looking back on your journey so far, what are some key lessons that you've learned about management, about interpersonal communication, and about leveraging technology in your field?
So I think you need a separate radio interview for each.
Just one quick lesson from each. We can start with a lesson that you learned about management, especially in terms of education.
Management, I would say, when you're working in a team or when you're leading a team, make sure you know the strengths of the people that you're leading and empower them to tap into those strengths and encourage them to work on their obstacles and change their obstacles into superpowers. Interpersonal communication, when you're aligned with knowing yourself, knowing your values, you're able to better communicate your message and have emotional intelligence to read the room as well.
Yeah.
So part of interpersonal communication, communicating with others, when you're firm on who you are and what you have to offer, you're able to build better relationships with the people around you because you know your value.
And the final point for the lesson that you learned was about the importance of leveraging technology in your field.
Technology can be bad and it can be good. The choice is yours.
Yeah.
Make it work for you. Use your limitations, redirect them into strengths. And you're part of technology, whether you like it or not. So use it for your advantage. Make it yours. Build a base that is going to create positive impact and change in the world. Like if you're, for example, into architecture, you know, leverage that, use that, take the space. It's there, you know, it's a platform for you to use. You know, build a community around your interests and your hobbies. And, you know, you can either contribute negatively or contribute positively. Choose to be a positive contributor and leverage the tools and technologies around you to create better outcomes in the world.
Beautiful. It was simple. It was to the point. Lovely advice. Thank you so much.
No worries.
And do you have a final message for the women that might be listening?
God puts you where you're meant to be, and where you're meant to be is going to help you grow strength, courage. It's going to help you develop in ways that you never even imagined. And don't limit yourself. You have so much to offer. And I can't wait to see, you know, the women in our community continue to be celebrated and flourish and continue to contribute in different spaces.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Tech trailblazers. As the digital landscape of workplaces evolve, this culturally and linguistically diverse panel of women will share their experiences in adapting these technologies into their craft. Women in traditionally male-dominated fields leave a mark on their journeys, empowering women to break through glass ceilings and emerge as influential leaders in their industries. Join us for this empowering series in Arabic and English as we look into the fascinating professional lives of these women, where they've effectively harnessed the power of technology and conquered hurdles in their respective fields. Be inspired by their resilience and wisdom. Follow the path to success that they've helped to pave. Unlock your potential. Join us and our passionate group of Tech Trailblazers. Proudly supported by the New South Wales Government.